The 8th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And when he was entered into a ship, verse 23, we're reading, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? I'd like to just go over to Mark, the 4th chapter, and read the same account, but sometimes we pick up a little different meaning. You'd also find this account in Luke, the 8th chapter, but let's just read from Mark for this moment. Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 35, And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? It goes so beautifully with the song this morning about God's love. Well, Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, if you don't think this is a great accomplishment, go out and try it yourself. And you realize the significance of what Jesus was saying. I'd like to give a title to this message today, just as the Lord made it real to my heart. The answer to your storm is in your boat. The answer to your storm is in your boat. It's not in someone else's boat. It's not in some other state or some other city. The answer to your storm is in your boat. Remember, Jesus instructed us that the kingdom of God is within you. And how many scriptures are there? Some 132 or 33. In him, of him, in whom? It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Some things that I think we need to enter into. It's been a great chapter day in the ministry of Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, a leper comes worshiping Jesus, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. That was in verses 1 through 3. Reading further in that same 8th chapter of Matthew, And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant is at home sick with the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus says, I will come and heal him. Now this man begins to speak the following, But Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Think of this. Any minister could write a book about the trivia calls that come at crazy hours of the day and night of someone that has no concept of time or whatever that just says, come. I remember one of the most pressured times of my life in the old location. A man called me and he said, Brother Nichols, God has laid on my heart a very significant gift to give to the church. Well, as tight as he was, that got my attention. He was a good man, but he was a very tight man. And he said, if you'll just come, he said, I want to talk about it, then I want to bless you, bless the church. Busiest day of my life, it was cold, and they had those open heaters. The fumes were in the house, and it was hot. Oh, my head was blowing off, it felt like. And I sat there for 3 hours going through trivia. He just kept saying, now, just a few more minutes, Brother Nichols. He said, I want to give to you what the Lord's spoken to my heart to do. And so I thought, Lord, this is going to be something else. This is going to be the mother of all gifts, you know. This is going to really be something. And after three, I really was getting sick. I did get sick. I hate to admit it. But, I mean, my head was, I was so hot. It was. And finally, he said, well, Brother Nichols, before you leave, he said, the Lord impressed me to give you $5 for the church. Now, wait a minute. If that was all he had, that was wonderful. Now, I'm not minimizing the number on a gift. There are people that have given $5 this morning that it was the biggest gift they've given in a long time. A dollar. It's the little gifts, even in television. It's radio. It's the small gifts, a lot of them together. But the point was, he was worth a whole lot more than $5. And I wasn't worth much when I left that day. I was tired. I was sick. I was frustrated. Waiting for that big... So I learned a lesson that day that God is your source. And I never get excited about anything until it's in my hand. And I can see what it is. Well, the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just speak the word only. What a revelation. Lord, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Speak the word only. Don't even bother to come to my house. Yes, the need is great, but don't worry about coming to my house, Lord. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me, and I say to one man, come, and they do what I tell them to do. And Jesus marveled and said, verily, I've not seen so great faith, no, not in all of Israel. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed, so be it unto you. And his servant was healed in the same hour. Oh, what a chapter in the life of Jesus. Then in the 14th verse, Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. And now Jesus comes into Peter's house and he finds Peter's mother-in-law sick with fever. And he touched her hand and the fever left and she arose and ministered to him and cooked fried chicken, mashed potatoes and all the trimmings. Something like that. Then in the 16th verse, and when the even was come, they brought unto Jesus many that were possessed with devils. Now I want to tell you, friend, I've dealt with one possessed with devils that was a day's work. I've dealt with one possessed with devils that was a week's work. But they brought unto Jesus many that were possessed with devils, and Jesus cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And of course, 1 Peter 2:24 bears out the same thing. By his stripes we were and we are healed. And now even Jesus needs a rest from the ministry. Yes, preachers get tired. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And Jesus took time away from the multitude and with his disciples invited them to enter a boat. And here we're all blessed and taught by this powerful story of Jesus and his disciples and what happens there. Don't you like the chapters in the life of Jesus? What a day. Devils cast out, sick are healed. Palsy is completely delivered and great miracles take place. Some things I think you need to remember with this thought and theme of the answer to your storm is in your boat. Every day people seek answers. Every day people need answers. I need answers every day. You need answers every day. But there's some things you need to write down and it will help you. This has kept me and held me steady in life and in the ministry and in dealing with the multitudes of things that we're dealing with. I thought I'd be slowing down at this time in my life. I'm speeding up. God is an interesting God. But here's what I want you to look at as we look into God's Word. Here's a great chapter. And I want you to notice the great chapter of Jesus helping and healing people. And then Jesus needs a rest. And then we find this great invitation to have a personal boat ride with Jesus. Aren't you glad for the salvation invitation that God gave to your life? Aren't you glad that the Lord picked you up where he found you? But he not only picked you up, he not only saved you and forgave you of your sins, but listen to me, he said to you what he said to these disciples, and the devil will do everything within his power to make you forget what Jesus said. Let us go over to the other side. Please listen to me. You forget this when the pressure's on. I can forget this when the pressure's on. When the pressure is on, we forget that Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. He didn't say, answer the altar call so you can sink. He didn't say, come and give me your all so that I can devastate your life. God's not a child abuser. I want to say that one more time. God is not a child abuser. God is a good God. My God is a good God. And he said, and remember this as you go through the storms of life, he said it, let us go over all the way to the other side. Don't ever let the devil tell you that Jesus enticed you out to follow him to go under. He did not bring us out this far to take us back again. He brought us out to take us into the promised land. Hallelujah. Remember that. It'll help you on those difficult days. Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. There's something else you need to remember in the midst of the storms of life. And that is to remember that a great storm did arise. Now this is interesting. We've been on that Sea of Galilee. In fact, when we were there the last time, the wind comes down. The way it is, it's cradled with the mountains surrounding that great sea. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And it happened so quickly. It happened so quickly. One minute that sea is calm, and the next minute your boat is rocking. And the Bible said that that storm that came down filled the boat with water. And their lives were in jeopardy. There arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into their ship. It's a great storm. You say, Brother Nichols, seems like I live in a great storm. I've been there. How in the world can things be so calm and then all hell breaks loose? And how is it that I can follow Jesus and encounter a storm when all I did was obey what the man said to do? He said, let us go over to the other side. And I thought it was going to be a wonderful love boat cruise. Thought it was going to be a cruise to the Bahamas or cruise to Alaska. And now this great storm. Let me tell you something, friend, that I heard a number of years ago. Don't even remember where I heard it. You're going through the storm with or without Jesus. The difference with believers is that when we go through the storms of life, we have Jesus on board. The world doesn't have a clue. They don't have help. They don't have what they desperately need. A great storm. Now, there's something very interesting here. There's a great cry and there's a great question, some great questions that they ask. And I think we've all asked these questions from time to time. And I want to just take a moment, just review some things that God spoke to my heart. Every day we need answers, and every day we live, we seek answers. The highest paid people in corporations all over the world are people who come up with answers that solve problems and make the corporation money. You may not like where he lives or what he drives or the status that he has, but his claim to fame is that when no one has the answer, this guy has the answer. And they're the highest paid, usually, in any corporation. Now, if Jesus is the answer, why doesn't he solve all my problems? I hear these pastors and radio ministers and television ministers telling me that Jesus is the answer. If he's the answer, why doesn't he solve all my problems? I'm going somewhere, so just stay with me now. If Jesus really cares, two questions. Why did the storm come in the first place? If Jesus really loves me, and if Jesus really cares, why did the storm come in the first place? Secondly, why doesn't he simply stop my storm. That's what they came to him. They said, Master, we perish. If you don't do something, it's over. In fact, they had the audacity to say, don't you care that we perish? Now, I don't always pray real nice religious prayers. I told God the other day, I said, God, if you don't care, I don't care. I caught myself. It kind of scared me. And then I thought about it. I said, yeah, Lord, I really mean that. If you don't care, I don't care. Why should I care if you don't care? I can't do it. It's a little stronger than that, but you don't need to know what the nature of the prayer was. You know something I've discovered about God? You don't shock God by your prayers. He knows what you're thinking anyway. You don't shock God when you come to God with bold prayers. Moses probably prayed one of the boldest prayers in all the Bible. When Moses, on that occasion when Israel had sinned, when Moses said, God, if you're going to wipe them out, wipe my name out of your book also. You don't play with that prayer. You don't play with that prayer. And it so touched the heart of God. It was like a, you say, explain that. I can't explain it. I just read it. And I'm just telling it to you. But there was a time when Moses so loved the people that he pastored as honor as they were. I mean, you know, Moses, I know he shouldn't have, he did, shouldn't smite that rock again, but he did. But, you know, when you got 3 million people on your head, it's a miracle, I guess, he did as well as he did, but still God has to play by his own rules. But Moses cried out, God, if you're going to destroy them. You know, sometimes it's very easy when your enemies pull some of those things they pulled and you say, torch them, God. We all laugh. We were in a meeting one night and some of the staff, and I forget what the occasion was, and somehow it ended in a prayer meeting and someone wanted us to pray for someone, and they were kind of an honorary person. Man that's not in this church anymore, but in the middle of that conversation of crying out to God to help this individual, this man says, just kill him, God, kill him. I thought, I wonder how many people wish they'd had the nerve to have prayed that prayer. It's not the right prayer to pray, but I wonder how many times you thought it, though you didn't pray it or though you didn't say it. We've had some good laughs about that over the years. Just kill him, God. If Jesus really cares, why did the storm come in the first place? And why doesn't he just simply stop the storm and get this thing over with? Master, we're perishing. Don't you care? Now, there's some other questions to solve here as we're looking at this great storm in this situation. How could a storm come when Jesus invited us to go over to the other side? Now, watch your head there. Watch your head. You've got to stay in the spirit on what I'm talking about. How could a storm come when Jesus was the one who invited us to go over to the other side? I had to ask the Lord the same question. Lord, you brought this project and dropped it in my lap. I was not looking for it. I would have run from it if I'd known the dynamics of it. Really, I mean, there's no way. God, you brought this to me, and now we have some challenges here. What's the deal? Let's go and ask another question. How could a storm continue with Jesus in the boat? How could it come in the first place, and how could it continue with Jesus in the boat? Here's another question. What is it going to take to get Jesus involved in stopping my storm? What's it going to take? He invited me to come. He's on the boat. It's still happening. The waves are still beating. The wind is still blowing. Boat's filling up with water. What's it going to take to get Jesus involved in stopping your storm? Now, there's another question, the ultimate question. Will we, can we survive and arrive safely? That's a good question. But here's the thing that the Lord made so real to my heart. The fierceness of our storm does not guarantee that Jesus will change, stop, or rebuke our storm. Lord, don't you know how bad the storm is? You missed the point. You're on the wrong trail. The fierceness of our storm does not guarantee that Jesus will change, stop, or rebuke our storm. Any way you look at it, nothing changed this killer storm that blew in with all of its fierceness until they came to Jesus. And I want you to get this in your spirit this morning because it's a word from God. I've just dropped the title about six times before I got to the pulpit, and everybody says, that's a word from God. The answer to your storm is in your boat. The answer to your storm is in your boat. Why am I in this boat? You're still missing the point. It's who's in the boat with you. Why is this wind blowing? Why are the waves beating? Why is the water coming into? You're missing the point. It's not the weather. It's not the waves. It's not the water. It's who is in your boat. I think we're beginning to get a hold of this. The answer to my storms, the answer to your storms, and you could put your own title on it, whatever it may be. The answer to your storm is in your boat right now. Right now. He's not out in Los Angeles. He's not in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's not in New York City. He's right now with you in your boat. I don't understand why, when it was Jesus himself that said, let us go to the other side, and we totally trusted his word and got on that boat simply on the word of Jesus, and now this killer storm has come up, and the winds are blowing, and as sailors we've done everything we know how to do to try to keep this ship from going under. And even the sailors recognize we're just seconds from disaster. The ship is filling up with water. Ships full of water do not float, you understand. And finally, in desperation, they come to Jesus. Now, here's something else. You talk about the grace of God. You see, when they came to Jesus, that's what they did. They came to Jesus. Lord, don't you care that we perish? We can't go any further. Don't you care? They really didn't pray a scriptural prayer. And they really didn't come to him on the basis of any promise. Which is why we're all in this room today, not because we've prayed every prayer perfectly or because we've always responded letter perfect to the word of God. And we should. But it's a word called grace. Sometimes we pray backwards and God interprets that and helps us anyway. Sometimes we get our theology a little messed up. Now, you don't do this consistently. And if you hear the word of God, most of us know how to pray and we know what to say and we know how to approach God. But as someone said in the cockpit of the plane with the young man Kennedy, they said before that plane went down, all hell was breaking loose in that cockpit. I mean, the man was upside, everything was confused. He was doing everything he knew and he didn't know much of what to do because he was a very novice pilot. But one seasoned pilot said, you can rest assured that the way it all happened, the angle, the quickness, he said all hell was breaking loose in that cabin. And yet this is exactly what the disciples were involved in. Sometimes, I mean, you've paid your tithes, you've given to God, you've sown, you've prayed, you've gone, you've given. As far as you know, there's no unconfessed, no unforgiven sin in your life. And I mean, in spite of everything, the wind breaks loose and the waves break loose. And you think, dear God, you know, some of us still have that old religious thing in us. Well, what did I do wrong? Oh, God, deliver us once and for all from that. Then we start trying to trade out 10 of this for 5 of that, you know. Well, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do, you know, and then we start the bargaining game. There's something you need to know. People have come to me and said, Pastor, explain this to me. There's things I can't explain. Well, you've been in the ministry a number of years. Surely you know. No, there's a lot of things I don't know. But there's one thing I do know. Come to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Cast yourself on Jesus. You may not say it right and you may not pray it right, and that's not the way you should do all the time. But when you don't know what to do, just cry out to Jesus. Their prayer was not a prayer of faith. Lord, we perish. Between the three Gospels, we get the story. One of them just said, Lord, we perish. Another one said, Lord, we've had it. Paraphrasing. They cried out to Jesus. Oh, God wants you to get this in your spirit. If it helps one person, but it's going to help more than one this very moment. The answer to your storm is in your boat. The kingdom of God is within you. The greater one is within you. One that is bigger than the wind, bigger than the storm, bigger than people, bigger than lack of finances, bigger than what people say or don't say. The answer to your storm is inside of you. You have authority. For Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It may seem like it's hurting you. It may seem like there's no answer, but hold steady. Hold steady. The way you win is when bad news comes, you hold steady. When the wrong letter comes, you hold steady. When the wrong phone call comes, you hold steady. When your body gives the wrong signal, you hold steady. When it looks like your children are going 100 miles an hour away from God, you hold steady. Watch your mouth. Speak the word and the promise of Almighty God. When you don't know what to do, come to Jesus. Oh, the answer to your storm is in your boat. I can give you some suggestions and I'm giving you some insights, but when I'm through preaching today, the answer to your storm is still in your boat, and His name is Jesus. And He's in my boat, and He's in your boat, and He's in your boat, but He's in my boat, and He's in all of our boats this morning. The answer to your storm is Jesus. No one can calm the winds. No one can calm the storm. No one can empty a ship of water that's going under but Jesus. We used to sing a song, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. So as I look at this portion of God's word, you see, Jesus spoke and the Bible said there was a great storm. There was a great calm. And you know what Jesus said after it's all over? Where's your faith? Where is your faith? See, they were so absorbed with the wind, the water, the boat taking on water, the waves, trying to get Jesus to help them. Jesus pointed their attention to something that is even stronger than Jesus being in the boat. Are you listening to me? Even stronger than Jesus being in the boat, the fact that you have faith to stop and still the storm. You have faith. Something that is more important than the wind, the waves, the boat, and all the hysteria, and even Jesus being in the boat, He said, where is your faith? You had the faith to stop this yourself. And what God's doing through these storms, He's teaching us, even though I'm on board, you do it. You pray it. You say it. You take authority. Sure, I'm there. Sure, I'm a miracle worker. But so are you. So are you. You also are a miracle worker. You're also a man or a woman of faith. You have power and authority over all the power of the enemy. I'll tell you, the greatest day in your life, and thank God for prayer people. Thank God for God's put so many wonderful prayer people in all of our lives. But friends, there comes a time Someone said they were so against it, they called the prayer tower in Tulsa, and they couldn't get through the line. They called Billy Graham, and they got the wrong number, and they called their own pastor, and he was out of town. They said, what do I do now? There comes a time when that question of Jesus is most relevant in your life. Use your faith. Use your faith. You speak the word. You have power over the stormy sea. The answer to your storm is not only in your boat. The answer to your storm is in you. The kingdom of God is within you. You have power. You have authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The answer to your storm is in your boat, right there at your fingertips. Not only it's Jesus, but it's the word of Jesus that's in you. Because he said, you'll do greater works. Greater works than I do shall you do. There will be more of it because there's more of you. I'm just at one place at one time. As I looked at this storm, you know, when you're in the storm, man, you are totally absorbed with the storm. I mean, all you can see is storm. All you can hear is storm. Every sense in your body screams, crisis, crisis, storm. And you're so absorbed with the storm that you don't think about the answer to the storm. Sometimes in counseling and some of the things, that's why it's good to bounce something off someone's got a clear head and maybe has an objective viewpoint on something. We are so absorbed with this thing. We're seeking answers, but we think we've got all the answers. And sometimes it takes a shock treatment to just shock us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. I remember one person years ago, I wouldn't advise you to try this, but they just kept calling up and said, I'm going to take my life. And finally one night, pastor said, well, just go ahead and do it. Nothing I can do about it. Well, it so shocked them that they got deliverance from that thing, and that never happened again. He said, if that's what you got, just do what you got to do. I got to get my sleep. All the times I've prayed for you hasn't changed that mindset, so just do what you got to do, and may the grace and the peace of God be with you. That person got out of bed and fell on the floor and cried out to God and said, Lord, I'm playing with something that's bigger than I am. And God delivered them from that spirit of self-destruction. You know what happened? The answer to her storm was inside of her. And she got a hold of that answer. And she realized that someone else, even the pastor, wasn't the answer to the storm. It was Jesus and the Word of God. You know what I just want to rejoice in today? I have told you the truth. I have told you the truth. And there's some people that are so storm-oriented. You've got storm music. You've got storm books. You've got storm friends. You've got a storm mentality. You say, preacher, leave me alone. I'm in the storm, don't you see? Preacher, just leave me alone. I'm in the storm. Well, are you in love with the storm, or are you in love with the answer to the storm? It's amazing, out of all the things you hear, some little silly nonsensical things just stay with you over the years. That little Simon and Garfunkel song years ago, when things go right, it tends to confuse me. That was obviously written by some believer who had a bad hair day. Some people just can't handle a good day. I'm feeling good. What's wrong? What's wrong with me? I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm feeling good. Things are going good. There's no crisis. Enjoy it. You're discovering that the answer to your storm is in your boat. And I think it's about time that we all started saying, thank God, thank God, thank God. The answer to my storm is in my boat. His name is Jesus. And the only thing more important than Jesus being in my boat is the word of Jesus that is in me. that he said, greater works than I do shall you do also. Lord, forgive me for fussing at you for waking me up so early in the morning. I'd only gotten to sleep at 1:30. When you get around Rodney, he's like Jesus. He never sleeps, never slumbers. Dear Lord, just hardly got to sleep and I wake up. But I think it was worth it. Because I got the revelation as I got in the Word of God, the answer to your storm is in your boat. I know I've preached it. I don't know why I can't just be quiet. Somebody needs to get a hold of this. You've got all the points, but you don't have the truth of what I'm saying. The answer to your storm is in your boat. You're not clueless. You're not without answers. You're not without help. God is still on the throne. Don't be so absorbed with the storm that you forget about the one who is able to calm the storm. Don't have a storm mentality. Have a Jesus mentality.